and welcome to On The Box. We are the podcast dedicated to all things TV and TV related here on the Geek Show Podcast Network. I'm Andrew, and today I'm joined by a gaggle of co-hosts. We've got...
Me, Andy.
Me, Ryan.
And Rob. Hello.
Not you, Rob.
Have you got a cold, Rob?
I'm in pain.
Let's not go there.
The painkillers have started wearing off.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, let's not go there. The doctor did.
Yes.
That's like hobble quickly onto news.
Yeah, I have been walking like a womble this week. It's been scary. What have we got then in the news?
See, now I've introduced the show and I'm leading the news.
Yes.
It's a disaster. It's a disaster, Rob. It's all falling apart. So first up, we have the news that Fox channels across the world are going to air Legion in like a worldwide release date thing, which I'm sure that was probably like a much less convoluted way of saying that.
A legion of releases for Legion.
Exactly.
So hang on, is this Legion as in the Devil Legion, or Legion as in the Roman Legion, or is it Legion as in the X-Men Legion?
This is the X-Men Legion. This is Fox's newest foray into Marvel superheroes.
Oh, is this...
And their first superhero TV series, I think.
Mm. Really?
Is this the one where it's like Professor X's son?
Yeah, he's Professor X's son. His name is David Heller. He struggled with mental illness all his life, been diagnosed as schizophrenic, but he discovers he's a mutant, and that all his multiple personalities are actually different superpowers. It's a really neat idea. It's been used to like great effect in the comic, and I'm really
what
excited.
What superpowers does he have?
Literally every single one of them.
Yep.
Has to be greedy, doesn't he?
Well, he's basically Peter Petrelli from Heroes,
You
get right down to it.
But what makes him cool is the idea he can only use as many powers as the personalities he can control.
Yep.
Sounds very different.
It is. I'm definitely very interested to see where they're going with this. So he's going to play by Dan Stevens, who is from Downton Abbey. But I won't hold that against him.
No.
We've got a bunch of other people. We've got Rachel Keller from Fargo. It's being made by Noah Hawley, who made Fargo, which is why I'm especially excited about it.
I've heard good things about the TV adaptation.
Yeah, it's so good. One of my favourite series is... Ross, we've got Gene Smart, who was also in Fargo. Jeremy Harris, who was in A Walk Among the Tombstones. Amber... This is a woman with the best name I've ever heard. Amber Mid-Thunder.
Oh, good. That is a good name.
Kate Asselton, Bill Irwin, and best of all, Aubrey Plaza's going to be in it.
Really?
Yes.
Cool.
So what other heroes are we going to be seeing in this? Or villains?
Don't know. I imagine they probably won't bring in too many X-Men characters because I assume they're saving them for the film.
Good point.
But, it is a good jumping off point because it's Legion. So to get other superhero franchises up and running, to get other superhero TV series up and running, Legion's actually a pretty good choice when you get right down to it.
So is Professor X like still alive in this like continuity? Or?
Yes.
Okay.
Because basically the X-Men films went as crazy as the comics, throwing time travel and stuff.
Yeah.
So Professor X isn't dead anymore.
Okay.
So see, if Patrick Stewart does like guest on one of the episodes, that would be amazing.
It's bound to happen at some point.
Yeah,
they'll get him on for one episode at least.
He didn't actually die in X-Men 3 The Last Stand, did he?
Yeah, he did.
Oh, no, he got disintegrated and like woke up in the body of a coma patient.
Yeah.
Oh.
But that doesn't matter, because that film officially didn't happen now. Bryan Singer came along and just went, no, I will strike this from the record.
Thank God.
Okay. I'm curious how they're going to work this Legion angle. I mean, is it going to be mainly about mental illness, or is it going to be about controlling power, or is Legion just going
to
be a big bad?
You've got to throw in, like, the mental illness angle.
No, I understand you have to throw it in, but is it just going to be, like, Legion being the big bad and everybody has to fight him, or...?
Well, no, he's the main character. He's going to be the hero.
Because normally they make him the villain, don't they?
I can imagine, like, the most of this, like, first season anyway, basically being him. It'll be sort of like a... Instead of, like, a villain of the week, I can see it being, like, mental illness... trait of the week, getting used to his different personas.
Yeah, I can definitely see like that's how they started off.
Yeah, so it'll probably be a slow start, but again, it depends where they take that mental illness aspect of him. It'll be weird.
Yeah,
I think
they can definitely go far with it, though.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think because, like you said, Rob Leiden, he's been a villain in the comics quite a bit. But he got a series kind of early 2010s, I think, where he was the main character. I assume that's probably what they're going to be mostly building off of.
Okay, okay.
Because that was really good. It was basically about him trying to overcome his mental illness. And you're going to have a lot of... Basically, he's more powerful the more psychologically healthy he is.
That's strange.
Yeah.
It's a strange weakness to have, but it actually makes a lot of sense. Which superhero was it that if he believed he was that strong, he was that strong?
Oh, that's the Gladiator, isn't it?
Yeah, that's him. So imagine if Gladiator had, like, depression. That would be an interesting one.
Yeah, yeah. Do you want to, like, pick a fight with Gladiator on his stay-at-home ice cream day?
Yeah.
I sort of hope that they're quite tasteful with this mental illness, though, aspect of it.
Yeah, there are a lot of ways that it could go wrong. You know,
it's interesting that they're experimenting with the idea, but again, you know, granted, I imagine some of it's going to be quite funny, or it's going to have some humorous elements to it.
Almost definitely.
But it's like going to be tasteful at the same time.
Yeah, well, it's Noah Hawley. Like, I'm sure he's going to do a really good job.
Yeah. Okay, moving on to me then. So, Disney.
Oh, although I should also probably just say this is early 2017.
Ah, okay.
Since, like, I didn't actually mention the date.
Okay. So, moving on to me then. Disney are actually introducing something new on Disney Channel at 7 p.m. on Friday the 22nd of July. What they're introducing is Eleanor of Avalor, who is the newest Disney princess. And they're basically gearing up for this lavish coronation for a princess that no one's actually ever heard about, you know, let alone seen. We've got, like, the first image of Eleanor of Avalor, and she's a Latino princess, or Latina princess, as they're saying. And from the picture, she's basically tanned, brown hair, flowers in the hair, and she has a scepter wand type thing with a big glowing crystal on the end.
Scepter of awesome.
Becoming a leader.
I don't think it's a scepter, I think it's just a pimp cane.
Oh, no, no. It says, becoming a leader will be her greatest adventure.
And sounds a bit like Loki.
Yeah, but the thing is, when I'm looking at this and I'm reading this,
I like the art style.
It kind of makes me think this is the kids' version of, say, Queen of the Teeling.
Is she going to use her mind powers to flay a man alive?
Well,
I would watch that Disney cartoon.
I said the kids' version.
Fine.
So maybe
fine.
Not flay him alive.
Flays him a little bit then.
Maybe not flay him alive. Maybe just make him sit on the naughty step.
But Disney films for kids aren't really the friendliest of films, are they?
Yeah, but this isn't a Disney film. This is a TV series.
Same thing.
And, you know, they're making a Disney princess from a TV series.
Did she go through a peril in this TV series where she deserved to be at Disneyland?
I imagine so. She will have many.
Because,
of those.
You know, when you compare them, right? Lion King, for example.
Wait, hold on. Hold on, right. Back
yes,
up.
Simba from The Lion King is my favourite Disney princess.
Back up to what you just said. The fact is, like, she needs to go through so much, like, turmoil in order to, like, be worth having, like, a ride at in Disneyland.
That just sounds wrong.
You don't get the ride. You haven't suffered
enough.
You've
got to earn it.
You want to ride this Disney princess at Disneyland? Yeah. I'm sorry, you have to pay extra for that.
When your kingdom is ashes, then you have my permission to get a ride.
I never used that word.
You did? That's what you implied.
It's because Andy takes his Disney princesses seriously.
Princesses? I mean, Disney in general, right? Lion King.
Okay. I'm still not sure
Simba,
how that links with Disney princesses.
Right? The protagonist, what he had to go through in that film compared to what in a TV series, this is just character created, shouldn't deserve to be at Disneyland.
I'm curious how Simba is a Disney princess.
It's all the sparkly dresses you wear.
Right, so I'm pretty sure the song in Lion King was "I just can't wait to be king."
Right. So I'm pretty sure
we can access the royal wardrobe.
Although some Disney princesses, I'll admit, didn't deserve to be there because, for example, Sleeping Beauty, she just slept there for the full length of the book and film.
Yeah.
So
the prince went and fought a bloody dragon for her,
and yet nobody talks about him.
Right. So for Andy's best interest, the first episode, like, her family must be killed right in front of her.
it's the Game of Thrones version, is it?
Disney's version of Game of Thrones. Game of Thrones.
Okay, Eleanor of Avalar is voiced by who's the actress who plays Sansa Stark?
Sophie Turner.
Yes.
You just get Peter Dinklage to voice.
What, Eleanor of Avalar? Voiced by Peter Dinklage. is this going to be one of those shows where he just spends his time slapping the prince?
You do realise you have to watch this now?
I just wait for Rob to tell me the new stories.
I want to know your thoughts on the outcome of the first episode. I want to see if she deserves a ride in Disneyland.
The first episode is basically an hour-long special.
Oh,
yeah,
fair enough.
That's a film.
So they're really pulling out all the stops with it.
So, yeah, that qualifies as a short film.
Yeah. So, well, the Princess Elna characters are going to traipse through Walt Disney World Resort this summer and Disneyland Resort in autumn. And Disney Publishing has produced a print and ebook titles based on the character and her story. And licensees include Hasbro, Jack's Pacific, Franco Manufacturing, and Children's Apparel Network. They've already made dolls, roleplay products, accessories, home decor, and all various other things. All the merchandising machine is rolling out for this new Disney princess.
I think all the Disney princesses should have a battle to the death.
A battle royale on an island, yes. Maybe.
Yeah.
Seems like I said, everything is better with battle royale.
Do you know the interesting thing?
That'd be a cool fighting game. Just
the interesting thing was I found an artist who actually she started working for Disney now. And she was doing like this fan art based around the Disney princesses, but it was kind of a comedy version. And you had like these really idiosyncratic versions of the Disney princesses when they're not on camera. And it was actually quite charming and cute and really funny as well. Cause you had, what's her face from Brave? And she was kind of trigger happy. So she was always shooting things with arrows. And then you had Pocahontas, who kept telling her off because she kept hunting Pocahontas's forest friends. So these two were, you know, these two kind of hated each other, but they're all living in the same house, all the Disney princesses. And you had who was it, Cinderella, who's basically a clean freak.
Which one would be a drug addict?
Well,
Sleeping Beauty.
Oh yeah,
they kept having to stop.
No, Snow White. Yeah.
They kept having to stop Rapunzel from dragging things in with her hair. You know that, was it, the How It Should Have Ended video, where her hair just starts getting all manky because she's running around and it's dragging all sorts. She basically did a little cartoon about that, and Cinderella basically throwing her out the house because she's just got, like, twigs and dead animals and stuff like that in her hair.
Oh, that's just making me want the inevitable four-way fight between Rapunzel, Thingy from Brave, Pocahontas, and Mulan.
Well, you know Rapunzel is going to be like, she's going to use her hair like a garrote.
Yes.
A whip.
You know who the referee's going to be? Quasimodo.
That's not a bad idea.
What was he?
This looks funny.
No, I reckon the referee should be Gurgi from the Black Cauldron because nobody still knows what the hell he is.
I sort of see him as like a wrestling referee, Quasimodo.
Everything Disney's bigger now, isn't it? It's got Marvel and Star Wars with it now, so it's like
everything needs a cinematic universe.
Oh, that'd be interesting. Princess Leia versus Mulan.
Yeah, she is actually a Disney princess now, isn't she?
Yeah, she is. Oh, Amidala is a princess now as well.
What
then.
A world we live in.
Yeah. Where Princess Leia is now officially a Disney princess. She'd rather shoot you than look at you. And got married to a pirate, which makes her the coolest Disney princess of them all.
Indeed.
Yes, yes she is.
Anyway, moving on to Andy.
Yes.
For the final news story. Seems odd moving on to this story after Disney princesses.
Everybody knows. What starts tonight?
Life.
Euro 2016. Oh, by the time this goes out, it'll be UEFA.
sorry, what did you say? UEFA?
UEFA.
In my head, I heard urethra.
That is setting the tone already.
No, not after the next bit. After it's red-faced.
Hey,
UEFA red faced.
Okay.
As mascot, shares with sex toy.
What's
UEFA?
have they made a mascot called Rampant Rabbit or something like that?
Oh please! Oh no!
Vibratron 3000.
The mascot
plugs in.
Is it called Dinger?
Super Victor. was designed by Euro 2016 organisers as a boy with a cape. UEFA.
UEFA. This just gets worse.
All we can say are they, and then in brackets, the sex aids, are not produced by UEFA.
Touch a clap like that.
I'm assuming the Super Victor is some kind of vibrator then. But whatever it is...
Well, I don't know. It's not something I would look up on a Google.
I'm just I can just imagine...
That's your job, Rob.
There's no without opening an incognito window.
Yeah, I can just imagine now, though, the company that makes the Super Victor, they are now going to say, officially endorsed by UEFA.
Well, they're going to get a lot of business for it now.
Improve your football skills with the Super Victor.
Super Victor, helping you get it in the back of the net.
Oh, no.
Super Victor, at halftime you change sides.
Oh, no.
It was chose out of a few names. That included
Super Victor, sponsored by David Seaman.
Oh, no.
Waiting for you, Andy.
Please say one of them was Playboy.
The two other names that they were going to, down to three, were Dribblou, Dribblou. And then Gorlix.
What?
Gorlix.
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 Spelt with IX. No.
Why are the French so raunchy?
But ideally, though, they could have Googled the names to make sure. The first thing you do is to make sure, for copyright reasons, nobody else has that name. But
yeah.
I'm supposing if you put Super Victor into Google, you'd get a result.
I'm going to do it.
I'm sure if you put Golix into Google, you're going to get results. And I'm pretty sure Dribblou is going to bring up some weird things.
You're not searching.
I can understand Golix because probably they're trying to play on the whole Asterix bit. Okay, So I can kind of understand that. Since Asterix is French or Gaulish, I would love to have been a fly on the wall when they were debating this in a board meeting.
Who chose the mascot itself as well? Have you seen the mascot itself?
It's just, you just said it's a boy in a cape.
Have you actually seen the mascot itself?
No.
It's very, very, it just looks like a normal, it's not like anything really.
That is like the ugliest mascot I've ever seen.
It's like sort of Fallout.
It's actually Pip Boy.
Oh, he is grinning far too wide.
Super Victor sounds like one of those super mutants.
Exactly.
Things.
It is Pip Boy from Fallout, though, isn't it?
It's Pip Boy if Pip Boy knew where all the bodies were buried.
And what a Super Victor actually was.
Oh no! Oh, on Google Images, there's like just one of Super Victor. With his arms held out to the side. It's this big.
It's still loading. It's that.
It says it's a popular toy as well. It's not just a normal.
Put it this way. It's so big that it's still loading on my phone. It's still loading. It's that big on my phone, apparently. Super Victor Giant.
What the hell is this? That's a Super Victor as well. It looks like some kind of weird Cthulhu-type, metallic creature-type thing.
And there was me hoping for just like a 20-foot-tall Richard Wilson.
Please don't include Super Victor in
I think
episode
the
title, please.
For Love Honey is crashing because that many people are checking what actually a Super Victor is because it's just stuck loading.
And on that note, I think we'll take a break. What do you think?
I think we should. I think we need time to recover.
Some serious issues.
Yes. Okay, back in a moment.
The world of comics and manga are much, much more complex than I'll ever know. So tune in to 4Panel on the Geek Show Podcast Network to make that whole world a little less intimidating.
Welcome back to On The Box, and now we're on what we've been watching.
Yes. So, what's everyone been watching then?
Well, I saw this, it's on Friday nights. I think it's Friday night. Thursday night or Friday night. And it's UK's best part-time band.
Oh, I've heard about this.
On BBC. Oh, yes. It's
BBC4, although usually I'm a bit with whatever's on BBC4. I'm usually...
BBC4 delve more into music and things like
this. Going to BBC2 for the final. Well, I'll explain what it is. What it is, it's the total opposite to what you'd expect. The X Factor or Britain's Got Talent. It's...
like low-key.
Yeah, it's part-time bands. Over 1,000 have applied for it. And there's no prize whatsoever, apart from the TV time, obviously. And they want to get people that enjoy what they're doing without the money aspect to it.
So it should be about.
So it's Rod Gilbert hosting it.
Okay.
And it's got 4 music legends as judges. That's Jazzy B from Soul to Soul, Hookie from Joy Division.
Oh, yeah.
And New Order. And in the first episode was Midura from Ultravox.
Which really?
Made me watch it because I'm a fan. But what it is, it doesn't actually say what the other 4th one is, but you get the idea.
Yeah.
They were going across Wales and Glasgow trying to find these bands, and they were visiting these bands. They're going to show 4 or 5. And what they did was they got a few, including one called Voodoo Groove. They had one called Bomb Scare and a few others. But they got them all, they got 5 into a live show at the end. And then Midge came up and announced 2 to go through the live final, which is on BBC Two. But it was really good to see. I mean, each episode of the week has the different legend going to pick 2. And then when it gets to the final, you'll have the 4 judges voting on the final winner.
Mm. How many episodes are there?
I think there's 4. I think there's 1 for each.
Mm.
And then you've got the live final on BBC Two after it.
Mm. I like it, the idea of this being sort of like anti-X Factor, the fact that it's low-key, they're not in it for the money, and it's not like this thing that goes on for weeks and weeks. You know, it's just 4 episodes and like a live final.
Mm. I mean, there's that emphasis on, even Mitch says himself, the music industry's been hijacked by companies and record labels. And it is different. It's great to watch. They're just there enjoying the they either sing a cover or one of their original songs. And
but it's nice because it's actually a chance for people to see something different, as opposed to just something that's just same old that you see on X Factor, but someone's just sort of different interpretation on it.
So whoever suggested that to the BBC must be like their favourite person. Just nice. What if we do a talent contest, but we don't have to pay anyone?
Yeah,
at this moment in time, yeah.
But I recommend it. And Rod Gilbert does a brilliant job of hosting it and doing his voiceover that he usually does for Work Experience, where he like does all these really dreadful puns.
Yeah,
but really funny. So yeah, I recommend it. It'll be all on iPlayer as well. And also seeing Midge show Rod Gilbert the 5 grand guitars in a shop in Glasgow.
Oh, that's this.
Hang on, they were cheap actually. They were £4,999.99.
It's not cheap, Andy.
But
Andy, I own a lot of guitars. It's not cheap. I have to watch it actually now. You've got me hooked. I want to watch this.
So my turn then, and I've been watching Would I Lie to You, which is a show that's surprisingly close to my heart. Not.
Oh, so you say.
Yeah, or so I say. Am I lying? Am I not? Let's see.
Have you even watched this show, Rob?
Yes, I have, actually.
Or have you?
Yes. No.
Or have you?
Maybe. I don't know. Do you know? Have I been watching it? Have you been watching me? Watching it?
Damn, he's found the cameras.
Somebody's watching me.
So, anyway, after that musical interlude from Ryan.
Sorry.
So, anyway, Would I Lie to You? And I'm not actually sure how to start with this show, except I can understand why it's so popular. After watching a few episodes, and it's surprisingly good for what it is. It's your basic comedy panel show. It's Rob Brydon is hosting it, and you've got Lee Mack on one side, and I forgot his name.
David Mitchell.
David Mitchell on the other. And you basically have 2 other celebrities with them. And Lee Mack and David Mitchell, their relationship is really good, but Rob Brydon's just amazing as the host. Because he's just so smug about everything. Mm. You know, he's just always lording it over the other two. the three of them work really well together. And it's weird because, you know, when you watch stuff like Mock the Week or Have I Got News For You or even QI, everybody kind of knows each other and everybody gets on. But there's a certain, I don't know, there's a certain distance to those shows. But with Would I Lie To You, it's a very simple idea.
Yeah, yeah, like even Paul Merton and Ian Hislop, they're kind of just off in their own corners doing their own thing.
Yeah, and we just happen to find it funny.
Yeah, they don't really have much of a dynamic between them.
And with Mock the Week, there's more of a dynamic, but, you know, it's more like going to, say, a night with Tim Vine where the jokes just come at you like a machine gun, and then after that it's done, you just feel a little bit empty inside. But with Would I Lie To You, this premise is really simple. You know, just figure out whether they're lying or not. And some of the lies they come out with are just some of the most outlandish things. But it's one of those shows that really puts bed to the idea that truth really is stranger than fiction. Because some of the things that have turned out to be true, and you just look at them and you go, you must be lying about this. There's no way this happened, and there's no way with your celebrity status you would be talking about it on national TV. And it turns out it's true. Like, what?
Kevin Bridges springs to mind as well.
Yeah.
With the horse.
Oh, yes. There's a story there that I think Ryan's interested in. It's weird because I think Lee Mack is probably the best of the three at lying, because you can never tell if he's actually lying or not, because every single thing that comes out of his mouth is kind of ridiculous. And what was it? There was one where he was talking about he was getting his daughter to basically do certain things for him. And you're kind of going, well, that's horrible. If you know, that's not right. He must be lying about this. And turns out it was true. And you're like, what? So, yeah. Would I Lie To You? An interesting show. And I like the guests that they get out as well. Because the guests are just people you've never heard of. Or, you know, it could be your next door neighbor or something like that. And then they'll just come out with this really weird... They'll bring out a guest for one of the teams. And it's like, you know, when Buzzcocks had that lineup, and you had to guess who was actually the person from the band.
Yeah, yeah, it's the opposite of that.
It's kind of the opposite of that. They bring out a guest, and you have to figure out, based on what each member of one team says, you have to figure out who's telling the truth, who actually knows this person. But some of the stuff that they come out with is just the most outlandish stuff. And again, you sit there and you think, that's got to be a lie. That's got to be a lie. But then the third one is, that must be a lie as well. But hang on, one of them has to be true. But which one's true? And you actually sit there trying to work out which one of them is actually lying. And some of them are really good at lying. Bless his heart, Ronnie Corbett was on one show and he was amazing. And Lee Mack was sitting there, because Lee Mack tries to lord it over David Mitchell and sometimes Rob Brydon. And Rob Brydon's tries to lord it over everybody. And, you know, David Mitchell obviously knows he's better than everybody else, obviously, so he's kind of smug. But Ronnie Corbett was on his team, sitting right next to him, and he's kind of going, well, yeah, this is Ronnie Corbett. Lee Mack's going, I can't beat him. And Ronnie Corbett's just sitting there doing his thing that he always does, you know, this really dry humor, this, you know, with his sly wit, and he's just stealing the show off everybody, because normally Rob Brydon kind of steals the show, but Ronnie Corbett's just, he's sucking up all the audience attention, and you can just see all the audience's attention is on Ronnie Corbett. Everybody else can just go away. And when they get guests like that, it's really fun, because you can see Lee Mack and David Mitchell and Rob Brydon just fighting for the rest of the attention.
Don't forget the guests actually come in as well.
Yeah.
This is so-and-so. And
oh, yeah, they get some great guests on. But they have some guests on who, you know, when they do 8 out of 10 cats do countdown, you know how mad that sometimes gets? Well, it's like a much more toned-down version of that insanity with some of the guests, because they have some guests on who you wouldn't expect to see on Would I Lie To You, and they turn out to be really good liars. And you just think, well, it kind of makes sense that they're a really good liar. Not because they're an actor or anything like that, but, you know, they've had a couple of politicians on, and when they've turned out to be really good liars, you're like, yeah, that makes sense.
It's the kind of show you watch and think, I always thought that person was a deceitful psychopath.
Yeah.
Mm.
And some of the lies they tell are just amazing. I would like to know one thing, though. Did they prepare these in advance, or did they just come up with them while they're sitting there?
Well, no, I think... They say at the start of the episode, don't they? They don't see what, like, their lie is before they have to say it.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
So
no,
the
I mean,
they'll know, obviously.
I mean, when they have the guests that come in and they just, they, you know, have they met them before and had a chance to think about what they're going to say? Or do they just think about what they're going to say regardless? Oh, yeah,
see, that bit from what I've seen, that seems pre-rehearsed.
Because if they're coming up with that stuff just on the fly, you know, that's kind of too good to be true. Even I'm not that good.
It's like Whose Line Is It Anyway, isn't it? They do it on that.
Yeah.
So you never know.
This is true. But yeah, Would I Lie To You? It's a show that I like. Actually, I don't. Yes, I do. No, I don't.
God damn it, Rob.
That is in fact a lie.
Yes. No, it's not. Or is it?
That would be like the ultimate meta twist where one of them was like, yeah, you're right, that was true, and hits the true button. But then at the end it's revealed that that, in fact, was the lie.
Yep.
And then it all implodes.
Anyway, moving on to you two. I believe you two are... you're going a bit Super Victor on the next one, aren't you?
Everything's gone a bit Super Victor.
Yes.
That's the last thing we need is a euphemism.
Yeah. Especially that kind of euphemism in a show that features a character called Arseface.
And you're allowed to say it.
Because that is his name.
That is his name, but they haven't called him that yet. But yeah, this is Preacher, which is being put out as a Amazon Prime exclusive, and we've just recently finished watching Lucifer, which we really, really enjoyed. And that was also based off a comic, and again, Preacher is the same. You're more familiar with the comics, though, aren't you?
I am, yes.
Yeah. Well, it's one of those things where I know of it, but I don't actually know anything about it. But yeah, the main star of this, the lead, Dominic Cooper, who plays as... I'm trying to remember his name.
Yeah, Jesse Custer.
Yes, Jesse Custer. And... he is a preacher, and he has a backstory of, which, like I say, I don't know. It hasn't really gone too far into like his past, but he was previously a violent man, and again, from being doing all this really seedy stuff to being a preacher, the complete opposite. And the funny thing is, though, is that he's not a good preacher.
Yeah, he is failing horribly at being a preacher.
Yeah, he's sort of doing it out of guilt in some ways. It's sort of tease that, and at the same time there's these weird supernatural events occurring in the world where other preachers all around the world are just suddenly exploding in really horrible gory fashion. And yes, I must say this is super violent. I was really surprised that they went all out on it. I was really shocked. And a similar event happens to Jesse, except he doesn't explode and he just sort of passes it on as if nothing happened. But then starts to realise that he, as he's preaching, he has the ability to sort of manipulate people. What he thinks is the power of God, but it's quite clearly something else is afoot.
Yeah, basically, in the comics, it's called the voice of God.
Is it actually called the voice of God?
Yeah.
Basically, he makes people do literally what he says, which, oh my God, if they include a certain scene from the comic where he does that,
yeah.
Oh boy, howdy.
Was it the voice or the word of God? Because the voice of God is Metatron. He's got the word of God.
Yeah, that's right. It's the word of God.
But what he's done so far, it's pretty insane.
Yeah.
But not only that, but he's accompanied by Cassidy, who is one of the favourite things about this.
Cassidy's amazing.
It's the 100-year-old Irish vampire.
Played by Joseph Gulligan, of all people, which was a massive surprise. And yeah, again, he's an Irish vampire. But the thing is that no one sort of believes that he's a vampire at this point, and he's just sort of loafing about.
Yeah, because he is also, like, a huge alcoholic.
Yeah, but it's super violent. Like, just some of the fights. I must say, like, the fight scenes as well. Like, it's sort of one of those things where you don't really expect, like, really nicely choreographed fight scenes, but they are really good and really, really visceral.
Yeah, well, I mean, the second episode just had that amazing fight scene in the church.
Oh, it was fantastic.
Well, like, he's fighting off these two guys, one of which has a chainsaw, and he's, like, throwing Bibles at them.
Yeah.
Because he uses Bible foo.
It's literally, it's one of these things where it has these really, like, gritty, intense moments, sort of like a Western, but then it's, like, really funny at the same time. It has that, like, again, like, comic book element to it, but it's really gritty. But no, I'm loving it so far. And what did you think more about it?
Oh, my God, absolutely loved it. I think from a perspective of a comic fan, it's interesting how they seem to basically been sticking to the comic, but they're taking some bits of like a wildly different approach.
Yeah, and I think like the way that it's like it's set up and edited as well, it has that comic book feel to it, even though it's trying to be gritty.
Slightly over the top.
Yeah,
which I think works in its favor.
Yeah, it's sort of like the thing like Lucifer. It's again, it was tame. It was just this that was really tame, but this is the complete opposite. This ramps it up. It's sort of one of these things where it's not funny. It's really like dark humor with some of the characters and scenarios that happens. It tries to like shock you, but again, it's like black comedy most of the time. But again, the fact that it's like set in Texas as well, it like takes advantage of that. The fact that, you know, just small community like that are really religious, and it's all set up and it's quite blasphemous at the same time. Like
it's incredibly blasphemous.
But again, it doesn't take itself too seriously, even though like it is. But no, I've enjoyed it so much so far. And again,
I assume that like as it's going to go on, they're going to start like into the actual plot of the comic, which is basically Jesse Custer trying to find God so he can hold him accountable for all the terrible things in the world.
Oh, that's one thing I'm really looking forward to in the Preacher TV series is the person, because obviously you've read it all cover to cover as well.
Well, technically not cover to cover, but I've read like the vast majority of it.
Have you read the final volume?
Yes, I have.
Okay, so you know what happens.
Yes.
The person Jesse Custer hires, technically, to do that job, and just that final scene when he's sitting there with all the bodies around him.
Which, well, I think the comic's quite... I think we can basically... The character we're talking about is a guy called the Saint of Killers.
The Saint of All Killers.
Yes, who they've actually introduced in the second episode.
Have they? Oh, yeah.
Which, cause... like, you probably wouldn't have, like, seen the scene of that, right? It's like, he's the cowboy guy.
Oh, yeah. I remember now.
His guns do nothing but kill, but they can kill anything.
So basically, every shot he fires will find its target and will kill them.
Okay.
That's why he's the Saint of All Killers. And, yeah.
Because, like, they've only introduced him a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, they've done, like, the first bit of his backstory.
Oh, right.
And you just see him, like, in 1881, he's talking to a group of settlers are talking to him.
Yeah.
And there's this guy kind of talking about, oh, sir, wouldn't you agree that this wilderness, it's like paradise on earth? And the one line he speaks in the entire episode is just to turn to that one guy and say, it ain't.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And just he delivers it in such a badass way.
Yeah, it's a great, I think it's like the start of the second episode that. No, it's a really good scene. But no, I'm enjoying it so much so far. It's quite grounded in like its reality, but then I think that works because it's grounded, it's gritty.
Yeah, well, it works as a nice contrast when it suddenly goes into like quite over-the-top violence.
Yeah, and the pacing of that as well is done really nicely. And again, with like again that black comedy with like characters like Arseface, who they haven't actually called him Arseface yet.
I think someone did in like the first episode. I might have just been making that
up. I think they said ass, but they didn't say the full thing. But
yeah, no, I think they might have said, yeah, his face looks like an ass.
Yeah. And just seems to randomly pop up and scare people, and then he's really apologetic about it.
See, like, the thing is, in the comic, he ends up as a really nice guy.
He's a nice guy.
He's a lovely guy.
He is really nice.
Although in the comic, he does get a reward for being such a nice guy.
He does.
Which is weird. I'm not sure how they're going to do that.
I look forward to finding out.
Yeah.
I say, I really want to read the comics, but I don't, because it sounds like I'm in for a hell of a ride with this.
You are. And in the comic, there is lots and lots of sex.
And violence.
We haven't had much sex so far in the series, but plenty of violence. Oh, dear me.
Yep, just wait. Would you say it was worse than Game of Thrones for the sex and the violence?
I think it's hard to be like worse than Game of Thrones, especially like Game of Thrones at its highest point of, wait a minute, there are no exposed breasts in this scene. Let's fix that immediately. But it's pretty close. It's pretty up there.
Game of Thrones, which in the very first episode had attempted child murder and incest.
At the same time.
So, yeah, okay. Preacher.
Oh, also Jackie Haley is playing Odin Quincannon.
Really?
Which is amazing.
Oh.
Like, he's only been in one scene so far.
Yeah.
But it made me tingle.
Was it a Chuck tingle?
It was a very Chuck tingle.
Yeah, I definitely recommend watching it, Rob. It's really good.
I've been waiting for a few more episodes to come out before I pick it up because I love Preacher so much. I would be ruined if I only watched one episode and then couldn't watch another episode for a week. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah, I can see.
Yeah, they're currently doing that format at the minute where it's not released all at once.
See, if they did it like Daredevil and released it all at once, you wouldn't see me for about a day, and then a day later I would walk out thinking I was Jesse Custer.
Yeah, yeah, Amazon don't do that Netflix model of just here's everything.
No, Amazon are classy. They're going to drip feed it to you.
Although, I do know what one of my cosplay ideas would be. Just Jesse Custer, go to a Comic Con as Jesse Custer. With the eye patch and everything.
It's a bit of a lazy one.
Not for me.
He hasn't got the eye patch yet.
Not for me, it isn't. It takes some effort.
Oh, no. Not as full-on white-faced Jesse Custer. Yes. God damn it, Rob. No. You bad man.
And not only that, he's a Christian preacher. I'm not Christian. Ryan's sitting there not sure how to respond.
I'm just thinking of all the things that could go wrong in this situation.
All of them, all of the things would go wrong immediately.
So, anyway, anything else? Anyone else been watching anything?
Actually, I have been watching Game of Thrones, and I've worked out a show I'd much rather watch than Game of Thrones.
Oh,
Game of Thrones is fantastic.
Yeah, but I'd much rather see the adventures of that one theatre troupe.
Oh, that theatre troupe's fantastic.
Yeah, because it's great. They basically, it's part of Arya's plotline that she meets a theatre group who put on, wildly inaccurate plays of the events of the series. Basically, they make Joffrey the good guy.
Yeah, it's funny as fans to watch it.
Yeah,
again, because it's that didn't happen, and no, it wasn't that at all.
What I love is just who they've got to play them.
It's like a parody of the TV show within the TV show. Yes. It's great,
but not just a parody. Well, the director of the thing is Richard E. Grant.
Oh, really?
And Kevin Eldon plays Ned Stark.
Oh, wow.
It's so good.
It's Rich. I love Richard E. Grant. I think he's amazing.
He's such an amazing ham.
Took me the 10 minutes or something while I was watching it to go, is that him? Is that him? I think it's him.
Yeah. And then, oh my God, it's actually him.
Yeah, Richard E. Grant. I think Richard E. Grant's amazing.
I wish it was actual real thing. Just Game of Thrones. It's like Game of Thrones panto.
Exactly.
It's amazing. It's straight up what it was.
Well, do you have a bunch of the peasants at the front going, he's behind you!
Basically.
And
the entire thing is done in rhyme.
Really?
It's amazing.
Yeah, don't even watch it, but just find that bit on YouTube and watch that.
Okay, I will do that. So, I think that's us done for the day.
Mm.
Yeah?
Yeah.
But yeah, go watch Preacher, it's amazing.
It is, makes me so happy. So, we are at the end of the show. If you've liked what you've heard, you can find more of us all over the internet where we've spread disgusting mildew that delivers high-quality entertainment.
Disgusting, dank memes.
Yes. We have our own website, which is geekshow.co.uk, and you can email us at studio at... One day, Rob, one day. You can email us at studio@thegeekshow.co.uk. We are on Mixcloud, on Stitcher, on iTunes, on YouTube, probably other places. And if you've liked us, we are a voluntary organization, so we do rely on the help of our lovely listeners to keep doing what we love doing. So you can find our GoFundMe page on, surprise, surprise, GoFundMe. Oh, maybe share that around with your friends, maybe donate some money if you're feeling generous. Or if you'd like something for your money, we have our own shop, is on thegeekshop.co.uk. Just click the Geek Shop tab and buy one of our many lovely items. All designed by Rob.
Yes.
Hand designed.
Not hand designed. I used a computer.
No, he didn't. He drew them out all by hand.
I used a Super Victor pencil.
Yeah. It's not going to make people want to buy them.
No, well, that's a t-shirt idea.
And if that is going to make people want to buy them, I'm not sure we want those kind of people in our audience.
Or in our clothes.
No, I'm joking. I'll take that money. I'll take all that money.
Designed by Super Victor. Anyway,
yeah. That's it. We're done. It's all over now.
Yes. We'll see you all next week.
And thanks for listening.